This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you again. Well, how you been?
Good, good.
It's great to see you.
So, welcome again to Dubai.
Thank you.
The idea is I think they're going to do video recordings, huh?
Yes, they're filming. We're filming.
Right? Okay. So, first of all, what do you think of Dubai, and what do you think is it missing?
Well, I think that I've always been very attracted to Dubai for a couple of reasons. One, I'm incredibly passionate about listening, and I think the way the country is operated has a lot of grounding in listening. I also love true innovation and entrepreneurship, and there's some sort of inherent competitive advantage when your country is only 50 years old of what you're able to do. As far as missing, you know, I haven't spent enough time to give a thoughtful answer to that.
What do you think is the right time? I heard people say 2 months. Living in a country, 2 months is the optimal time to get a sense of how that country is or that city. Do you think that's too long? Or do you think
I think that's too short. I think people make assumptions too fast from preconceived notions. I think 6 months feels... For me, I like to really think about stuff because I get very loud when I talk. And so I tend to want to measure multiple times before I yell. So maybe a little bit more time. But I think inherently, you know, it's funny. The thing I've been actually most thinking about is what it's missing might be missing an opportunity. I think that the world is really moving right now. And I think it's an incredible destination for a lot of people in the Web3 space.
And this is why we did the Dubai Blockchain Center, actually, to create the ecosystem, to help the regulators understand the tech, help them construct a good framework for that. But it's harder than you think.
It's hard. But I think the market is... Hello. Thank you so much. I think the market is ripe for a place like this to... When I think about all the people moving to Miami or Puerto Rico or... Yeah, I think, the remote worker, the virtual worker, there's just so many inherent advantages that Dubai has to really make a play.
Do you think the best play could be in the DAO space or DeFi or NFT? Or
My intuition is that NFT is the most lucrative space because I think, similar to social media and consumer internet, it's inherently all-encompassing. You know, I think you'll see the biggest movement in how consumers, everybody, interacts with it. I think the NFT space is incredibly lucrative.
But don't you think there's a barrier for entry? The tech is hard?
Of course, but the tech is hard in everything. I mean, understanding how to be part of a DAO, it has, you know, it's just all new. I mean, I think for me, I got lucky. My career started when people didn't know how to use email. And so I've seen things go from this is hard to this is easy. I bring up to a lot of friends, I'm like, look, this is all hard now, custodial, non-custodial, all this stuff. I'm like, you used to have to be a programmer to get on the internet. And then Mark Andreessen created a browser and the world changed. And I think in the next 5 years, all of this will be incredibly happening on the back end. Right now, it's just so new. And so, yeah, I think there's a barrier of entry. But if you look at how many people have been willing to fight through that barrier to be a part of this space in such a short period of time, I think we'll see a lot more adoption very quickly.
What do you think is going to give it hyperspeed? Like, what do you think the one thing if we do right now that's going to really speed
accelerate
up?
Accelerate it, you mean?
Yeah.
I think...
Like hyper growth, like it's going to go to like worldwide adoption in 3 years.
I think... incumbent platforms integrating.
Okay.
You know,
I'll give you an idea, and if you,
please.
Can, you tell me if
no, we're just, yeah.
Right. I'll give you a couple of ideas. So around NFT. So one idea is to make the NFT platforms a social platform as well at the same time. So interactivity with the consumers, people rating art, people commenting on each listing, and things like that. Because all of the ones that are
I think Coinbase and Meta will be doing that before the end of the year.
Okay. We have that ready here in Dubai, actually.
It's great.
Yeah.
And that's right.
Gas fees are, it's called the Galaxy of Art, and the gas fees are minimal. It's like less than a dollar. And it's built on Cardano. I'll give you another idea. What about lending items in games?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that leasing is such an obvious reality to this world, because nobody will ever be able to use all their stuff at once. Mm-hmm. So I'm very bullish on that.
What about subscription-based NFTs?
Meaning?
Meaning the guy you just met, Ahmed Balaghi. So what they're doing is providing subscription-based, you know, access to different platforms. For example, Sandbox uses them to mint NFTs. So you pay one fee a year and you can mint as many NFTs as you want.
That's cool. I mean, I think what's going to be interesting is to see where the consumer sits on which blockchains win the day, or which ones are interoperability between each other is going to be very interesting.
A lot of people were doubting that music and subscription services will work. Do you think subscription services will work for things like NFTs?
Yeah. Yeah, I think subscriptions have always worked because people are looking for bulk discounts. And if you're able to incentivize behavior based on lowering one's fees, I think the question though becomes is what the perceived value of NFTs on Poly versus Cardano versus Solana versus main ETH versus layer two. There's a lot that hasn't been figured out around perception of value.
But isn't that around more where network effect is right now?
Of course, that's always the case. And I think that is going to also be predicated on all the other blockchains that make fun of gas fees on Ethereum are technically built to have the same issue at scale.
Yeah, if the price goes up, they're all the same.
Yeah, it's like, it's really funny to make fun of something else for being expensive, except the hypocrisy in the commenting, because if everyone moves over to these other blockchains, the same thing will happen.
I agree with you.
So I think that is, but again, that becomes a conversation of people not knowing a lot. Like, as you know, a lot of people are incredibly undereducated on the technology aspects and the technical parts of this. And so certain marketing behaviors can be short-term successful, but they're eventually gonna have to feel the ramifications of the truth.
I'll give you a couple of experiments we've done. And you tell me which one do you think is more likely to succeed?
Okay.
I'll give you three categories.
Okay.
If you build it, they will come. Not doable, or sign me up, or it's amazing, or I'll come in as advisor or investor. So one idea is compound NFTs. So you buy an NFT, you get a physical item, you get a virtual item, and you get an augmented reality experience as well. Do you think that's...
Which category?
I mean, I think that's inevitable.
Okay.
I think that the bundling of physical and digital is a foregone conclusion. As a matter of fact, I believe that the perceived value of NFTs has the potential to be the biggest driver to physical consumption in the next, you know, several years. So I believe in that a lot.
Okay, we're experimenting with that.
Very cool.
I have myself a car. It's a Tesla, and we actually put a wrap around it with the NFT art. And that art is actually not still art, it's dynamic art, so it's an animation. And you can have a filter with that on the car itself. So if you take a video of the car with a Snapchat or Instagram, you can...
It ARs.
Yeah,
it ARs. Yep. Makes sense.
And at the same time, you can drive the same car with the art on it in an NFT art.
Very cool.
And you can rent it. You can lend it, I mean, to other people to use, or they can buy it.
Very cool.
Yeah. What do you think about NFT moments?
Moments?
Yeah.
You mean like highlights?
Yeah, highlights, and of course experiences as well, like geocaching. Like for example, if somebody goes, for example, to the Museum of the Future.
The second part I'm very high on, because I think gamifying people's behavior by rewarding them is a forever good idea. And I think we've seen that with airline miles and with memberships and reward points. I think the best way to get everyone to go there is to give everyone a high value NFT for coming.
Yeah, and we've done that actually in the expo as well.
Very so cool.
Some of the pavilions, we
I think the I think the biggest mistake that I've seen with the early executions is right now the high valued NFTs are considered ETH mainnet, and most people want to drive down costs, so they'll do a poly execution or something of that nature, which doesn't have the same effects yet.
I totally agree. What about reward points in NFTs instead of, you know, reward points?
100%. Okay. 100%. I mean, there's really going to be very quickly here no reason not to do that, because there's inherent value in the NFT, and the cost for the issuer will be low in comparison to the adoption they'll get in return. Right?
Yeah.
100%.
So one more. So for things like physical things that are basically becoming a history, for example, stamps. Right now in the UAE and in other regions of the world, they're substituting actual physical stamps with QR codes.
Yes.
Some of the countries, including the UAE, have done the first NFT stamp. Where do you think that is going? Do you think that's going to be the ultimate collectible instead of physical items? Things that are disappearing as a collectible in the space, like stamps, for example. Currencies. Nobody collects currencies nowadays.
They used to.
And everything is going to be disappearing, right? Do you think a digital alternative to stamps, currencies, and things would be NFT space, or is it only a part of the market?
Well, I mean, it's all going to be, when you say part of the market, part of the physical and NFT, or part of the overall NFT market?
I think, look, I don't think NFTs will be everything collected.
It's never ever or. Everybody always wants it to be or, and it's always and.
Do you think the and is better? Like having, like for example, the car that I mentioned to you. Imagine it's a collectible car, right? It's one-off car. If you have something tied to it that's either a wrap or a signature by a celebrity or something like this. Or being owned previously by a celebrity and
that's
having some other hidden items.
Yeah, I think a lot about provenance of ownership. I think people are really misunderstanding how big of a deal that will be one day. I think there'll be a whole collectible market at scale in the future. I would today buy an NFT that Randy the Macho Man Savage once owned, because he was my favorite wrestler. And I think a lot of people are gonna do that. So that's that. As far as the earlier part of your question, yeah, I think to your point, many things will get eaten up and become NFT form. Many things will never be replaced by an NFT, and many things, to your point earlier, will be enhanced by an NFT. I also think one of the big opportunities in the space is the NFT mercantile of goods reality. I think is gonna be a big deal. Like me never taking possession of this sneaker, it's sitting, I own the NFT and I'm trading it, and maybe the seventh person that gets it actually calls the item.
We're doing that here.
I think that's gonna be a very big deal.
Yeah, we're doing that here with diamonds actually. There's a project called Ice Labs. So you buy the actual certificate to the diamond.
That's right.
And you can claim it later on.
That's right. I think that is gonna be a big deal.
I bought into it instantly.
Yeah, that I think is a very substantial use case of valuable use case for the NFT, because the person that's holding the diamonds, the confirmation on the blockchain of like, okay, D-Rock now actually owns it, is the point of the blockchain, and is a very, very, very efficient, non-friction. I mean, we used to use paper.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And paper bonds and things like that. You know, it's equivalent of it, but in digital form, and there's much less, you know, risk to the ownership. You know, nobody's gonna rob you and steal your digital diamonds.
No.
It's very highly unlikely.
Though, you know, I don't travel with my NFTs on me. My laptop, my phone, I think as these things become more valuable, people are going to want to take your phone just to transfer the NFTs.
Yeah, it's a real risk, to be honest. And I'm the same, though, by the way. I treat my wallet as a wallet, and I treat my actual, you know, hardware wallet as, you know, my bank account.
100%.
So I don't take all everything with you.
100%.
What about things like that are right now friction points, like the type of wallets right now that we have? I think it's all gonna solve itself out, right?
Yeah, I think it's so. Back to the browser. 100%. It's just so early. People struck. You know, we're so used to technology. Most people are living in a Web 2 world. I mean, they forget about. I mean, my first server for WineLibrary.com was in my store. Forget about cloud.
I was on the internet in 1993, and the thing that attracted me to it, it's the same thing that attracted me to blockchain technology, is that I am early. I know this is going to be big.
Same. Yeah. 100%. Real big. Like internet big.
Yeah.
And all the jokes and all the right click and save, it's just cliche naivete to the reality.
And I totally agree with that. But I think scaling right now is the biggest hindrance.
But that's just a lack of patience. That is a foregone conclusion, as you know. And the speed at which will be much faster than what we felt in 1993, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, it took time back then.
Okay, I'll give you another.
Please,
another,
this is fun.
One of those, I'm totally into it I'm not interested. AI and blockchain, do you think this is a marriage made in heaven? Do you think it is actually a force multiplier?
I think the bigger question is, the way people talk about AI today is not usual, actual AI.
Yeah, it's a machine learning.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about this artificial super intelligence? The things that, with the DNA and Elon Musk's brain sensors and things like that.
I'm too undereducated to speak to it in any validity, but intuitively, I think it's also makes a lot of sense. I think it's in theory right now, but it's kind of like when people talked about AI 15, 20 years ago.
But imagine this, we are still early, right? Just like with the early days of the internet, early days of blockchain, people don't realize the potential. AI is the same right now.
100%. I think there's so much muddying of the waters of actual AI that a lot of people don't realize that they aren't getting AI when they're paying for what they perceive to be AI, but I couldn't imagine AI not hitting scale. Why wouldn't it? The technology is clearly... The hypothesis, the technology, and the use cases are in place. It's no different than walking around here with the robots. Like, my answer is always yes. It's just a timing game. And commercial viability is what I spend a lot of my time on. You know, when I bought Ethereum in 2015, I understood the macro thesis. I just thought it would take time, and it did.
It's one of those things, is take my money, right?
Yeah, it's you know, but where a lot of people lose money on things that end up being true is being too early.
I totally agree. I'd rather be early than late, right?
That's for sure. But if you're too early, you end up in the same place as being very late.
How is that?
Well, if you're too early, like for example, there's a lot of people that bet the farm on ICOs in 2017 and lost all their money.
Okay, no, I made money in ICOs.
Yeah, I mean, can't complain. But as you know, a lot of people lost a lot of money.
Of course.
It's like anything else. It's if you know how to play it. I mean, if you know how to play it, you can be very late and make money.
And even if you don't know, and you know people who know how to play it.
That's the story of life. That's the story of life.
So why do you think things like wearables like Google Glass and things went wrong?
They were. I think that they didn't understand human spirit. Like, humans need as little friction as possible.
They have a do-over. What do you think they should do? They have a do-over, actually, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the great do-over of that whole space is contact lenses. I just think it's very, very technically difficult. But, you know, I think what people misunderstand about human beings is how little friction they expect.
Okay.
You know?
So So speaking of that, sorry to interrupt.
No, I love it. I'm listening.
Okay. So what do you think is the next thing? We had mobile phones right now. We had computers and tablets and personal assistants before that. Where do you think the next big thing is? Because they're stagnating right now. Smartphones are
very stagnant. I mean, Apple's phone is basically the same.
Do you think it's where human-machine interaction, like Elon Musk imagines it, like with brain sensors? Do you think it's going to be something you wear, like a wearable, like a glass? Or do you think skin and gesture and this kind of stuff? Where do you think?
I don't know, because it's not a space to spend a lot of time on. But what I would tell you is, I'd be stunned if we don't evolve into robots. Stunned. Okay. I think in the next 100 years, if you show me a human being, I'm like, that's a robot. I think there's
there, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. I personally know dozens of people that would implant into their body technology.
Yeah, I've done that already.
You have?
Yeah.
How so?
Chip, like a RFID chip.
Yeah, I get it.
It's an experiment, right?
You have a chip in your body right now?
Yeah.
And what are you tracking?
Nothing. I just use it for payments, for card exchange, things like that.
What do you mean payments? Like?
Oh, you can pay with it in some European countries. Yeah, they do it in Sweden. It's nothing new. There are some countries that are actually doing biometrics even for payments, like in the UK.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I'm super about it.
There's a term for it, actually, cyborgs, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people are cyborgs.
Yeah. I would do it.
Yeah, there are kits actually to do that. In the UK, it's like everywhere. Every tattoo shop has them.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're not expensive. Like $60, $70. The surgery is more expensive than the actual chip.
Yeah, makes sense. Chips are pennies.
Yeah.
Dr. Marwan, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Marwan.